So good afternoon. My talk today will focus on the role of FSH in the acquisition of developmental competence. As you know, FSH is a pituitary gonadotropin hormone that acting by binding specific receptor, leading to rapid activation of different signaling pathways in the granulosa cells. And it has been clearly established that through all these pathways, FSH is essential for granulosa cell survival, granulosa cell proliferation, differentiation, and we have seen previously that it's also very important for stereogenesis. So the role of FSH during follicular development has been studied previously, and it has been clearly demonstrated more than 10 years ago with the establishment by generating FSH deficient mice and FSH receptor deficient mice. And you can see in both phenotypes that the ovary from mutant mice, knockout mice, have no antral follicles and have no corpus luteum in the ovary. So that means that the follicular development has been stopped at the early antral stage and leading to anovulation and infertility. So according to this previous experiment and others, we can divide the follicular development into two different phases, FSH independent from the primordial stage to the large antral stage. We can see some early antral stage also without FSH. And a second phase, which is FSH dependent from the early antral stage to the pre-ovulatory stage. So what's happened during this follicular development on the oocyte level? So as you can see here, the growing oocyte phase almost occurred during the FSH-independent phase. And at the early antral stage, the oocyte almost reached its final size. During this different phase, he's also acquired the ability to resume meiosis. And this competence is acquired progressively during oocyte growth. And he also has to acquire the ability to support embryo development. And as you can see here, during FSH-dependent phase, there is two important competence must be acquired, ability to reach metaphase 2 and ability to develop into embryo. So that suggests that FSH is very important for the oocyte competence. On the other hand, there is a culture system showing that if you isolate granulosa oocyte complex, you can culture them without FSH and obtain competent oocyte and embryo fully competent in absence of FSH. So the question remains, does FSH deficiency affect the oocyte growth and the acquisition of its developmental competence? So to address this question, we use a synchronized growth model of the follicular population in the immature mice from FSH knockout mice. So during immature period, particularity in mice is that the follicular population grows synchronously, and if you want to analyze one of the follicular development phase, you can just choose a specific age. That means that at 18 days old, for example, most of all the growing population will be at the early antral stage. In adult, of course, you can find all the different stages together. So using the knockout FSH knockout mice, we first show by histological section that we confirm that there is no antral follicle, large antral follicle in these mice, whatever the age. We also showed that there is a delay in the follicular development in these mice, and you can see here at 18 days old that there is a significant more proportion of follicles that stay at the primordial stage in the knockout, and less follicles at the secondary stage. So there is a delay in the follicular development, but the follicle can reach early antral stage. So what's happening for the oocyte? So during the follicular development, represented here by the different age, you can see that on histological section, there is actually no difference between FSH normal mice, white type and knockout mice. So that means that it seems that the oocyte grew normally in absence of FSH. And we confirm these results by measuring the oocyte collected from early antral stage at the different age, and we have no significant difference between white type and knockout. So to evaluate the meiotic competence of this oocyte, we analyze the chromatin configuration. We know that during the follicular growth, at the end, at the later state of follicular development, the chromatin is going to change and have the surround the nucleus configuration. During the growing of the oocyte, they stay at the non-surrounding nucleus configuration. That means that the transcription is inactive, and at the end of follicular development, transcription is repressed, and they reach this configuration. If we look at the two age, 19 days old mice and 23 to 25 days old mice, you can see there is a difference in the number, proportion of oocyte that reach the SN configuration in the white type compared to the knockout. More oocyte reach the SN configuration in the white type. But at 23, 25 days old, there is no more difference in the number of oocyte that acquire this configuration. That means that they are ready to resume meiosis. If we look at the protein level, we selected here two different proteins, cyclin B and CDK1, that is very important for the for the formation of the MPF factor and for the meiotic maturation. And we can see here that this protein is normally expressed, the level is the same in FSH plus minus and minus minus mice. There is no significant difference at the protein level in the oocyte. So from this result, we can this result at least suggests that the oocyte grow normally and are competent to resume meiosis. So we just verified that this oocyte can reach meiosis, can resume meiosis using IVM culture medium. We collected the follicles from the ovary from the early antral stage and antral stage at different age, and we just matured them from 24 hours without gonadotropin. And the first graph shows the proportion of follicles that at least reached the GVBD stage, so this stage, and this together. And you can see that whatever the age, there is no difference, significant difference in the acquisition of GVBD competence. If we look at the metaphase 2 rate, this stage, you can see there is a progressive acquisition in the meiotic competence in the knockout mice compared to the white type. So that's a fit with the fact that the follicular development is delayed and the acquisition of fully acquisition of meiotic competence is also delayed in these mice. So what's happened in the developmental competence? So to reach this question, to address this question, we just start to see if we give FSH, these mice are able to normally ovulate. And actually, we were surprised to see that even if we prime the mice with FSH, we have a dramatic decrease in the number of oocyte cumulus complex obtained in the oviduct of these mice. And if we try to fertilize this oocyte cumulus complex, there is a dramatic decrease in the fertilization rate also. So to see if it's a defect in the oocyte or in the fertilization process, we use the ICSI procedure, and we can see here that the fertilization rate is completely, almost completely restored after ICSI procedure. So the embryo development after ICSI procedure, whatever you prime the mice or not, you can see that it seems the embryo development is still impaired in the knockout mice, but that must be confirmed by a further experiment. So in conclusion, we can say that the FSH is not required for oocyte growth and accumulation of this protein. The acquisition of meiotic competence as well as the transcriptional silencing achieved but with delay. Hormonal priming is not sufficient to restore normal ovulation rate, and fertilization at cat can reach two cell stage after ICSI, but later development may be impaired. So the hypothesis is that FSH is required for the maintain of cumulus oocyte communication formation, and in absence of FSH, cumulus oocyte complex formation fails to normally occur, impairing the normal ovulation and fertilization. And so we now further explore the formation of the cumulus oocyte complex in these knockout mice. So I want to thank the member of LULAC, and especially Jean Suzuki, who is doing the ICSI procedure in our lab. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Isabel. Questions? Dan?
Well, you had to expect one from me because you're talking about the most important hormone, the one my lab studies. I guess I'm a bit surprised, and perhaps you were as well, that you have a difference in the number of primary follicles, at least early, I guess it was day 18 you showed data from, because you showed us a schematic indicating that early folliculogenesis is hormone independent, but your data would actually suggest that there is some form of hormone dependence, likely not direct, because as far as I know, those follicles aren't expressing the FSH receptor. So have you given any thought to what explains the maintenance of those follicles at the primary stage? It seems like they're sort of delayed in exiting the primordial and then into the primary pool.
Yes, and yes, we are surprised about that, but there is also other experiments from other authors that show that the FSH have an impact on the follicular development pool in the mice. And actually, I don't think we know exactly how the FSH act on the formation of the follicular pool, but it's maybe true the stimulation of steroidogenesis, because we know that at that time there is a fluctuation in the level of estradiol and so on. But I think, of course, it's an indirect action, but I'm not sure that we know exactly how it's happened.
Okay, just a second, one more question.
No, not a question.
Okay, if there's not a question, then I'd like to thank all of our trainee talks from this afternoon and from this morning for giving us an excellent overview of the wide variety of research that's going on among the different research groups. And tell everybody that coffee or the health break, whatever, is now until 3:30. And now I will let Bernard speak.
Okay, just for a second. Please fill this out. We really want your suggestions for next year's speakers. So if you have any ideas about who you would like to hear, write that in the box, and we'll try to comply. The changes we made to the program this year was to have a separate poster session, separate from the lunch. I've had some positive feedback, but very few comments about that. So I'd like to know whether you prefer the shorter lunch period we've had with a separate poster, or whether you prefer them together with a longer time slot. So if you could get back to us on those points in particular, and then fill out the rest. But wait till the end to fill it in and give it back to the desk, because Dan is the last speaker, and all of you will get a chance to get back at him with a form and with your questions.